Welcome to Consensus, a podcast from Census Technologies.
Welcome to another episode of Consensus. I'm your host, Yasmin Hassan. Today, we're diving into how AI is transforming sterile processing with Census AI. I'm so excited to have Robbie Miller here with us today. He's a sterile processing manager with a ton of experience and insight in this space. Robbie, thank you so much for being here today.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you, Yasmin, for having me. I'm really looking forward to the conversation that we're going to have today about AI and in the sterile processing world.
There's so much going on in that world. But first, let's back up just a little bit. Robbie, will you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got started in the field?
Yeah, so I'm a manager of sterile processing at St. Joseph's Hospital Medical Center in Phoenix, Arizona. And I've been in this industry now for, I say, 28 years. So dating myself a little bit, but it's been a wonderful career thus far, and I can't wait to see where it continues to go. I think for most people that have been in the industry as long as I have, we probably fell into this industry by accident. I know today there's a lot more academic institutions of higher learning that are promoting classes and awareness to a role that we are serving in today. And so folks are finding us more readily and easier. But for those of us who've been in the industry for a long time, we probably fell into this role by accident somehow. And that was my case. I was actually, I went to school for EMT and was working as an EMT as well as needed an additional job while I was trying to become a firefighter, which was a very competitive job to get into, especially when you didn't know anybody in the firefighter industry. And so while I was working as an EMT, I also needed to pick up some additional hours. And I got this job as a sterile processing technician, working with what I at the time called utensils, and was quickly corrected their instruments. And really, the rest is history. I went to school and completed my degree and moved into leadership and have been in the industry ever since, just having a passion for what we do.
Since you did sort of fall into it, what do you think really grabbed your attention and kept you in the field for so long?
Yeah, I think one, when you get into healthcare, and I tell this to my staff all the time, especially in an industry like sterile processing, which is often an entry-level position and people are just kind of getting a taste of healthcare, you need to figure out, do you want to work with patients or do you not want to work directly with patients? And for me, I think my heart really felt in working behind the scenes, having an incredible impact on patient care. What we do has tremendous risk and tremendous benefit and ultimate impact on the outcome of patient care for our surgical patients who are having procedures in our facilities and in our communities. And I really find incredible value in participating in that activity. I also think that the people that I work with are just absolutely incredible. It's all about the people. And that's really the people what's kept me here in this industry for so long. It's a little bit chaotic at times. I love the hair on fire kind of chaos. I thrive in that kind of an environment. And that's exactly what sterile processing is. If you're looking for a job that is not stressful at all, this is not for you. But I thrive in it, and it's kept me here today.
I'm sure that you've learned a lot, seen a lot through your career. What do you think some of the biggest lessons are that you've learned along the way?
Yeah, so, I touched a bit on people, and I would say as a leader, the people that I surround myself with, that I work with every day are the most valuable asset that I have at my disposal as a leader of a sterile processing department. But just people that I get to come to work with every day and do incredible work impacting people's lives, that really, truly touching people's lives, hopefully in a positive way when we're doing things properly. So it really starts with that. I would also say I'm a very process-oriented leader, and I just love the problem-solving to really tweak and define processes, because sterile processing is very much an assembly line production. And really finding the efficiencies, the efficacies to produce quality care outcomes so that we know our patients are going home, getting the best care possibly delivered. And then I would say, an important component that I really value is just continuous learning. And I think in many jobs, especially in healthcare, it's really a commitment, a lifetime commitment to continuous learning. You're not going to just learn this role and you're set to go for life. It's constantly changing. There's a lot of ambiguity. And you really have to commit yourself to continuing to keep up with standards or technologies or whatever it is, so that you are staying ahead of the curve in an industry that is rapidly evolving. And I just really have a passion for that continuous learning process.
Speaking of that evolution, what do you think has changed the most? I'm sure it's not necessarily the easiest to always adapt, especially when people can be set in their ways. But like you said, so many things are constantly changing and hopefully getting better at the same time.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of changes. And, you know, the old phrase, you know, the only constant is change. And that is absolutely the case within our industry and surgical services and sterile processing. Over the last decade or so, we've seen incredible change. I would say, one, the evolution of standards. We didn't know what we didn't know, and we're learning so much so quickly through research, and it's impacting and driving those standards that drive best practices based on evidence that we're implementing into our organizations and departments. And we really need to be in tune through continuous learning to keep up with those standard changes that we're seeing, process changes. I also think we've seen an incredible advancement in technology. You know, for those of us working in this industry 20 years ago, the devices we're using today, which have amazing patient care outcomes, optimizing, you know, those outcomes with patients, reducing pain, reducing length of stay, a lot of more minimally invasive procedures, robotics, right? You really have to be in tune with how technology is changing how we reprocess these devices. They're becoming more and more complex at the benefit of the patient care that's being delivered, but it certainly makes for a challenge in our units. And the last thing is the advancement of instrument tracking systems. You know, I remember 28 years ago, even 20 years ago, and I think even for a lot of folks within the last 10 years, doing things in our units without an instrument tracking system. I call it the dark ages, just archaic times. And tracking systems have revolutionized how we do things within our departments. Everything we do is through a computer and documented electronically. And it's really changed our processes and benefited how we do things in a great number of ways.
With so many things evolving and improving, I have to imagine there are still challenges that you all are working to make improvements on in the field in general. What do you think is the biggest challenge that you're facing, or at least some of the biggest challenges right now?
Yeah, so I think I'd probably highlight maybe two or three things. One, it starts with knowledge of best practices. And that starts with leadership. But it has to carry down to the frontline technicians who are doing the very hard work in the trenches, so to speak. And so I think that's still one of the biggest issues we have, that staff in the industry don't know what they don't know. And we need to continue to expand on our knowledge and skill set in accordance with best practices. And I'm going to say the four-letter word IFUs that we all hate in this industry, but it is true. I think the other biggest challenge we have today is compliance. Whether that's compliance from a regulatory perspective or compliance with instructions for use, those IFUs. And so I think those two elements are the key to success for many of us in this industry and some of the biggest challenge to overcome. We all know the contradictory nature of instructions for use that are out there. And what kind of a position that puts our staff in and trying to comply with those. And then we have the regulatory compliance pressures on the side of that to make sure that we're doing everything in our power to keep our patients safe, because that's what it's really about. But it all comes from knowledge of best practices and standards. And it's why I really, really encourage folks to get certified, to have that commitment to lifetime learning and just constantly improving. We're all on a path of continuous improvement, and that starts with knowledge.
You mentioned technology and AI, and the more it's being integrated into the field. Can you talk a little bit about how you see it shifting the way that sterile processing is done?
Yeah, so technology is wonderful if you can wrap your head around how to apply it. And I think as we even get into artificial intelligence, folks struggle with that. But there is a, a, a great deal of technology at our disposal. We're seeing a lot more automated systems. And some of that's been around for quite some time when we talk about automated washer disinfectors, you know, our autoclaves, low temp sterilizers, things like that. But then I touched on tracking systems, for example. And so I think embracing these technologies and recognizing the value that they have to offer you and how they can assist you in designing processes to set your staff up for success. And that's what it's all about. When I mentioned before, I'm a process-oriented leader. Let's embrace technology and use it to set up processes that are going to set our staff up for success in keeping our patients safe and doing their job and doing it well, doing efficiently, doing it effectively to produce quality outcomes and meet compliance, regulatory compliance, follow the IFUs, those types of things. So let's deploy technology to do that. I think technology is also going to lend to increased automation. Now, I know, you know, we're probably going to touch a little bit on AI. And I think one of the biggest fears people have is that, you know, artificial intelligence or robots or, you know, technology is going to take over my job. The reality of that question is, yes, it is going to take over parts of your job. But here's the thing. We still are going to need human beings doing jobs, especially in SPD, but we can shift the role that they're doing and have technology take over more mundane tasks, tasks that we don't want to do, tasks that bore us. And I think we're going to see a continued evolution of automation, which in turn creates standardization. And standardization is paramount to producing a standard quality product to every single patient. So I think technology is going to help us with just that, automate, standardize, and help us design processes to be successful in our complex nature of our departments.
I think you're so right. It's easy to have a knee-jerk reaction, right, to AI. You don't want to take jobs away from people. So when it comes to Census AI specifically, can you remember what your first reaction was when you heard about it?
Well, I've always been open to the idea of technology, and I know not everybody is. So I was excited. I was really excited. Like, let me get my hands on this. I'm a data-minded individual. I want to look at it. I want to see what it can do. And then I want to figure out how we can make it even better. That's where kind of my mind works. But I have always been the personality to embrace technology and figure out how I can utilize that technology to be an extension of me and help me do better or help my team do better. So I was really excited to hear about it and absolutely wanted to learn more.
How would you say it stacks up against maybe some of the other tools or systems that you've worked on throughout your career?
Yeah, so when I first got into Census AI, my immediate instinct reaction was, wow, there's an overwhelming amount of information in here, which was wonderful. It took a little bit of time to start digesting it, breaking off, you know, small bites that I could chew. It has a tremendous amount of data in there that's being aggregated in a large number of ways. But I think one of the biggest differences that I encountered that I really liked was how interactive it was. I could manipulate the way the data was being aggregated and extracted and presented to me in just a plethora of ways, which I found to be just incredibly insightful. And I could figure out, oh, I find a lot of value in this particular data. This isn't maybe very so helpful. But the interactive capabilities of the data that was being presented from the inputs of the system into those outputs for me to review was very, very exciting.
So often we talk about programs and data and numbers, but what connects when people are a little hesitant, at least I think, is how it actually applies in the real world. So when it comes to Census AI, can you tell me what sort of difference you've seen when it comes to actual workflow and how things work in the department?
Yeah. So with Census AI, I mean, we started looking at how can we deploy this to improve, I would say, first, the efficacy of our department. How can we produce more quality? It's always about quality first, right? And so the first thing we looked at was missing instruments. And we really liked the idea of setting some specific key performance indicators that we could share with the staff, targets for what we were looking for with how many trays had instruments marked missing, or how many total instruments collectively were missing from the fleet of the trays that we had out there. And then looking at data about, you know, what technicians are rectifying missing instruments and actually spending time looking for them or communicating ordering needs versus those techs that maybe just continue to mark it missing in the tray. And it's really about producing a quality product to the operating room, to that team who's performing that surgery, that procedure. And that's complete trays. So that was one way we started to use the AI technology to promote efficacy. From an efficiency standpoint, we really, really liked the productivity module where we could really track and trend the bottlenecks of the department and adjust staffing models to make sure we had the appropriate level of staffing to work through those bottlenecks. Now, I would tell you that any good leader out there can easily look at their department, walk around and say, I know when it's busiest and I know I need the most people here. But what this system does is it gives you objective data to make decisions and even advocate for resources that you might need. And those resources might be human resources, those resources might be technology resources or capital resources, or even operational resources. But having the objective data at your fingertips helps you better manage your team to promote an efficient department that can reduce turnaround times, for example, or ensure that we have trays available when we have multiple cases of the same type scheduled in the day.
Thinking about the technology, are there any moments that really stick out to you that highlight just how powerful it is?
Yeah, I would say I had a real aha moment with the AI technology, really in two capacities. So one, from a missing instrument standpoint, when I started discovering that I could use the inputs going into the system to extract information about how my technicians were performing with respect to locating or marking instruments as missing in trays, it really allowed me to coach folks who I think could do better, but at the same time, celebrate those folks who were doing an incredible job at, you know, really taking a passionate approach to quality of trays being delivered to the customer, which is our operating room. As a leader, however, I would say productivity AI is just incredibly insightful for me to drive my staff forward, to coach people up and get the most out of them, to really help them be the best that they can be. The data that is extracted from there, showing me the performance of my individual technicians, has aided me in having conversations to help them improve in certain specialties. For example, you know, at my facility, we're a large acute care hospital. We do virtually every procedure, you know, imaginable, from transplants to neuro to hearts to ortho, robotics, GYN cancer. My technicians have to be very well-rounded in all specialties of surgery. And, you know, some of these specialties like ENT, for example, are very complex. And so the productivity AI can help me understand who needs continued education, knowledge, and development in these areas, and who's excelling in them, which can help me maybe create service line leads and things of that nature. It was paramount for me providing positive or effective feedback to my employees, which I find incredibly important, especially during evaluation time or those quarterly check-ins that hopefully everyone's having with their team members, to really celebrate their successes and show them what an amazing job that they're doing, or continue developing, you know, those staff who maybe are new or oftentimes students, as we are an academic teaching facility who often have students working in our department from various different colleges. And so I think both of those modules really kind of said, oh, aha, this is just amazing information I've never had at my disposal.
I know one of the big selling points of Census AI is real-time insights. How has that changed the way your team makes decisions when they really matter?
Yeah, real-time information is incredible. We're making decisions on the fly all day long. We're working in an industry, surgical services, where there's a great deal of ambiguity. You think you've got your day planned, and then the broken hip walks through the door, and we know that, you know, the life expectancy of somebody with broken hip is dramatically reduced if we don't take care of that very, very quickly. And so I would say, you know, this information using, you know, AI and technology has dramatically helped us better have predictive modeling of the assets that we need to meet the demand of the schedule that's in front of us, and a schedule that is not stagnant. It is constantly changing. So, for example, you might have 4 endonasal procedures, or maybe you're doing 3 skin grafts, you know, 4 hearts in a day, whatever it is, whatever type of procedure it is, you got to make sure you have the assets for that, because of course we're avoiding immediate use steam sterilization, IUSS, as we refer that to that, because you don't have the appropriate assets is absolutely inappropriate. And so using technologies to identify these scheduling conflicts beforehand, be prepared for them, be able to determine if you can turn over assets in an effective and safe way with enough time, or do we need to bump a case down the line to make sure that we have adequate time to reprocess something, or even advocate for additional assets to make sure that we have the assets on hand for the case volume that we are in fact scheduling and need to schedule to meet the demands of the community, is all more effectively done using technology like this.
Is there a specific kind of data that you think is the most helpful?
Again, as a data-minded individual and as a leader, a people leader, I would say that the two pieces of data I look to the most are performance data of my staff so that I can coach them to be successful team to meet the demand of our operating rooms, as well as quality. I've touched on that a few times. Quality is, you know, the most important thing in a sterile processing. If we don't produce quality outcomes, patients get infections. Patients, you know, could have increased length of stay. They might have to have a second operation. They could lose their life, you know, due to that transmission of infections. So it does come down to quality. And using artificial intelligence or the technology at our fingertips that's out there today, we really can improve quality outcomes, especially with a module like the Quality Census AI Squared application.
So we know SPD and perioperative teams have to be in sync. That is so important. How does Census AI factor into that?
Yeah, so I think I would touch back on, you know, making sure we have adequate enough assets to meet the demands of the operating room. The worst thing that we can do as teams here from an SPD to the OR perspective is not have the right item in the right condition. And what I mean by that is high-level disinfected or sterile, whatever the procedure is, at the right place at the right time. That's our mission. I mean, to have it where it needs to be, ready to use at the right time. And deploying artificial intelligence and technology systems to aid us in successfully accomplishing that is how we're going to most effectively work together as teams. But I would also say it can go further than that. We're all on a path of continuous quality improvement. No SPD is perfect. No operating room is perfect. No process is necessarily perfect. And these applications can help us with that quality improvement. So that would lead us into the quality AI technologies. And so maybe you have initiatives that you know you need to work on. We all have them. There's something we have opportunity to improve on. So maybe a couple of examples. Point of use treatment. We know this is an opportunity in a lot of facilities, maybe not being done effectively, routinely, you know, but it's expected by compliance 100% of the time and to be done properly. And so we can use technologies like this to monitor point of use treatment and set some KPIs, give that feedback, look for process improvement. You could do the same with flexible endoscopes, for example. There's a lot of aspects with flexible endoscopes in the GI industry. Again, whether it's point of use treatment or your cleaning verification outcomes, failed cycles, these types of things, that you could deploy these systems to set those key performance indicators to achieve quality improvement outcomes.
What about the teams? Are they feeling more stressed, less stressed, overwhelmed? I know introducing AI is not necessarily a small task, but how are they feeling about AI helping behind the scenes?
Yeah. So, Yasmin, that's kind of an interesting question, because AI at this state, I would say, is very much in the infancy of its development and deployment within sterile processing departments. And so I would tell you that from a leader perspective, many of the staff don't necessarily feel or understand the impact of the artificial intelligence. It's more utilized by the leadership team to drive process design, set up KPIs, and monitor those things so that we can have aggregate data and have that objective data to make business decisions on. Is it less stressful? I think anybody in this industry would tell you if you're looking for a low stress job, this is not the one for you. It's a stressful environment, and I think eventually AI is going to alleviate some of the stress on our folks when we talk about some automation of you know those mundane practices. I think they will actually start to recognize it. I do believe they're realizing less stress because of some of the things that we can produce, the information we can put at their fingertips to help them be successful. But I don't know that a technician would say, hey, I'm feeling less stressed specifically because of the application. However, we're going to get there because, again, we're in the infancy of this, of the development and deployment of this technology. And I am incredibly excited about where it's going to take us into the future. Our industry is going to be transformed by what I would describe as an arms race right now in artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence is the way of the future, not just in our industry, but in many industries. And it is going to dramatically change the landscape of how we do things, which in turn, I do believe is going to take incredible amounts of stress off of our staff once they learn to embrace it.
So that once they learn, I think that's really the key phrase there. Was it a similar reaction when Census AI was first introduced?
So I would say similar in regard from a leader perspective. It definitely takes a lot of stress off me. Getting information out of a system, or if you don't have a system and everything's handwritten, was much more difficult. And so it's definitely a lot more simplistic for me to get the information I'm looking for to validate that we're doing things well or identify where we have opportunities of improvement. And so I think that in itself was very, very helpful. But I'm still very excited to see how the technology continues to advance and where it's going to create a much more positive environment for our staff through the aid of technology and helping them do their job as an extension of them, if you will, to help them be more successful.
What's the process been like for training the team and onboarding and getting over those little bumps when it comes to introducing really anything new?
Yeah, I think with anything, it starts with making sure that you can articulate the value, right? How does this impact you? How is it going to make your life easier? How is it going to improve what you're doing? How is it going to help you be successful? It's really about being able to speak to and articulate the value of what we're trying to do in order to get buy-in, right? If we're going to improve, for example, point of use treatment, because SPD staff are tired of instruments coming to decontamination with blood all over them that's bone dry and nothing's been treated and it takes me longer to clean it. And using technology like this to track and trend those so we can provide objective data and improve the process of point of use treatment, which is then going to in turn improve the efficacy and efficiency of our processes. You can get that buy-in to do the inputs that are necessary to get those outputs, right? So it's all about education, but being able to explain the why, right? We're not only teaching about what we're doing, but don't forget that why piece. It's absolutely paramount for people to get that buy-in.
I know we've been talking a lot about things moving and evolving and improving quickly. Where do you see the biggest opportunities for Census AI and really AI in general over the next, say, 5-10 years?
Yeah, so I'm incredibly excited about where this could potentially go and eager to get there and see it come to fruition. I think there's incredible opportunity as I talk about an extension of the technician, alleviating stress to help staff with AI technology, not only recognize what instruments are being used in a procedure to make our trays more lean and efficient, to clearly identify what those frequently used instruments. I think many of our trays have too many instruments in them, which is creating just more things to count in the OR, more things to process in SPD, more costs. I think that's a huge opportunity. I'm also really, really excited about the potential of using artificial intelligence to help SPD technicians assemble trays. And so I think that we can move to a realm where we have technology that can help us quickly identify instruments, which may be very, very helpful for somebody who's new to the industry and learning right out of school, maybe even a student who's here working and getting their clinical externship hours, or even that experienced technician who's working with a very complex specialized tray like an ENT, craniofacial, endosinus, tympanoplasty tray. We all know these trays are very, very complex, and to quickly identify those instruments. And then here's the kicker, is that if we can have technology help us quickly identify instruments and count instruments, we can improve our ability to perform quality functions like kerosene punch testing, testing scissors, testing the box locks. We have a ton of different quality measures that we really need to be doing, inspecting lumens with borescopes, maybe a cleaning verification test, doing lubrication of power equipment to really make sure that we have quality functioning instruments in our operating room. I think even this technology could help us reduce the time we're spending on counting instruments and help us finding the instruments to complete our trays. And so I'm really excited to see how it continues to advance over the next several years.
Lots of advancements hopefully to come. But if we're being honest, I'm sure even with AI, there's still a lot of challenges, both now and challenges we haven't even thought of yet. What do you think we should really be focusing on and addressing when it comes to maybe some of those difficulties?
So again, I think the biggest help in the immediate nature is compliance. Compliance with best practices and standards, compliance with instructions for use. Technicians today are put in a predicament all too often where the soak time of instruments from the same tray have different time lengths required by the IFUs of different manufacturers. The sterilization times vary. Even the potential sonic times can vary. The process, the complex process to do electrical leakage testing or continuity testing of ion catheters. These types of things, the technology can help us quickly almost provide cliff notes of IFUs or aggregate the data from multiple companies in a single instrument tray to help us produce, the minimum time to cover all of these things in whatever process it is through decontamination or sterilization. So I think that's the biggest hurdle for us to comply regulatory wise, as well as for patient safety, is aggregation of incredible amount of information and instructions for use. Some of these IFUs are over 200 pages for one individual device, and we're processing thousands of them a day. Nobody can possibly read that information and follow it in the workplace. We need ways to aggregate that information and deliver it to the technician doing the work in a simplistic, effective way so that they can meet those minimum recommendations.
Not an easy task, I'm sure. What would you say to SPD leaders who are maybe a little hesitant about using AI?
Yeah, so I would say one, I know technology is a little bit scary and it can be a little bit overwhelming. I think everybody has that fear of, do I fully understand it? How do I learn more? But I would say embrace it. AI is here to be an extension of you. It is not here to replace you. It is here to enhance you. Embrace it. It is only going to make you better and help you be successful. And if you fail to embrace it, you're going to fall behind. We have to be innovative as leaders. We have to have that innovative thinking, or we are going to become stagnant in an industry that is rapidly evolving. And so it's important, it is paramount that you remain innovative in your thinking, forward thinking, so that you can be successful and stay ahead of the industry rather than being reactive to it.
Robbie, thank you so much for joining us and sharing all of your insights and experience. And to our listeners out there, thank you for tuning in to Consensus. If you like this episode, don't forget to subscribe and share. I'm Yasmeen Hassan. We'll see you next time.